from the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
So, but we can't crawl the rest of our life. We gotta, just like growing up, we gotta stand up and walk. People are back, yeah, let it walk now, let it walk, preacher. He said, but we're just not gonna walk, because one day God's gonna want us to run. I said, yeah, let it run, preacher, let it run. And the preacher said, and for us to run, we gotta build a building. So we're gonna take up a building offering, give the best offering you can. And then in the back, someone said, let it crawl, preacher, let it crawl.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu, pastored by Dr. Wayne Cordero. You know, we often say that we want to be more like Christ, but did you know that one of the greatest attributes of God is that He is a giver? For God so loved that He gave. And Jesus, well, He gave His life. Today, Pastor Wayne will show us that we are never more like Him than we are when we are giving. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, A Life Essential, Giving.
What I'm about to talk about today and what we're going to discuss, you already believe. It's nothing that you don't believe, like this is your belief system here. It's nothing that we don't believe. We believe this. But what I want to try to do, my goal, is to get the way we live a little closer to what we believe. And the closer we get to what we believe, God says, I'll promise you a blessing. The closer we live to what we believe. It was after the fall of a prominent minister recently that a friend of mine who's not a Christian said, you know, Wayne, it's not that I dislike what you Christians believe. I dislike the fact that you don't live what you believe. That's what bothers me the most. I'm fine with what you believe. And I thought, that's true. There's some modicum of truth there that he has. And so I thought, you know, what we want to do is challenge us to take our lifestyle and move it closer. In fact, God says, if you do, I'll promise a blessing. And that's exactly what we find at the top of our notes. Let's read it together in John 13, 17. In your greatest, most profundo, basso, profundo voices, are you ready? Go. If you know these things, you are blessed if you... would you circle the word blessed and then underline if you do them? God is saying, if you know these things here, this is what you believe, there'll be a blessing promise if you do them, if you move your lifestyle closer and closer. You say, Wayne, how do you put all of that into action? Well, it's actually a two-step process that we're going to find in Proverbs 19 and verse 20. And you'll see as we read this verse, it'll fall neatly into two separate steps. And the result of these two combination of two steps, you'll have wisdom the rest of your life. God's blessings, God's wisdom the rest of your life. So what are these two steps? Let's read it again. Go. Listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. What are those two? Listen to counsel. Would you write down in your notes there? The first step is listen to God's counsel. That's the first step. Exposing yourself consistently to the counsel of God. That way you establish what your faith is all about. You got to establish these. So you've got to expose yourself consistently to what is that which God takes delight in. Establish that. Listen, expose yourself to God's counsel on a daily basis. And that's why doing daily devotions here at New Hope is so important to us all. That you expose yourself daily, so that you're hearing what He has to say. But the second step is not just hearing or being exposed to God's counsel. The second is listen to God's counsel and accept discipline in order that you might be wise the rest of your life. Here's the second step, accepting the discipline necessary to apply His counsel. Accepting the, write it in, discipline necessary to apply His counsel. You see, we've got to establish God's counsel and then develop a discipline to keep it, even when I don't feel like it. Because there's going to be times you've got to establish first God's counsel. If you don't, you'll just go by how you feel in any given day. And your relationship, your faith, everything, what you believe will just be up one day and down the next. But if you establish God's counsel and then you ask God for the disciplines necessary to keep that, then even days when I don't feel like it, I get to keep it. Because you see, one of the byproducts of discipline is the word commitment. Commitment. We live in a society where commitment is a bad word. It's a byword. People don't want to be committed anymore to their employer, to their marriages, to their church. They just want to be footloose and fancy free. There's no commitment. No commitment. And that is a dangerous thing because there's no discipline. When push comes to shove, there won't be a discipline. There'll be an outburst, there'll be this or that, but there won't be a steady discipline. So people are less dependable or less trustworthy because I don't know what you're going to do in any given circumstance. On the other hand, people that are Christians that are supposed to be the pillar and support of the truth, we establish what God says is pleasing in His sight, and then whether we feel like it or not, we discipline ourselves to keep it. Because then one of the byproducts is commitment. Commitment to your marriage, commitment to your children, commitment to your faith. Let me give you a great definition of commitment. Commitment is staying true to a worthy decision long after the emotion of having made that decision has passed. Commitment is staying true to a worthy decision long after the emotion of having made that decision has passed. So you got to accept the disciplines to keep that. Because sometimes in the height of emotion, even in church, we make all these vows to God. Oh, God, I'll do whatever you tell. Oh, praise the Lord, whatever you say. And then you go home, the Lord says, now forgive your husband. No way, he's an idiot. He's an idiot. You don't know my husband. You won't even forgive him. You know, and so, whoa, what happened here? You see, we got to keep that regardless, keep that commitment regardless of the changing circumstance. Reminds me of this young church that they were trying to get a building program together. And so the preacher was just kind of riling the people up. And he said, we started this church some years ago and we started with nothing. That's right. They said nothing, preacher. And he said, and we just started to crawl like a baby. We had to crawl. And they said, let it crawl. Let us crawl. We were crawling. He said, but we can't crawl the rest of our life. We got to, just like growing up, we got to stand up and walk. And the people in the back, yeah, let it walk now. Let it walk, preacher. He said, but we're just not going to walk because one day God's going to want us to run. I said, yeah, let it run, preacher. Let it run. And the preacher said, and for us to run, we got to build a building. So we're going to take up a building offer and give the best offering you can. It got real quiet. And then in the back, someone said, let it crawl, preacher, let it crawl. Isn't that the way we are? In the emotion, the height of the emotion. But once the emotion passes, it's like, uh-oh. That's why it's important to establish what God is saying and then have the discipline necessary. Well, what we want to talk about today is a life essential, because therein God is going to give us some strong admonition that's going to reward our lives in tremendous ways. There's one area of life that is a life essential. If you miss this thing, you miss it all. You got to have it. Like, this is missing. Something is missing. Something. It reminds me of these two Portuguese guys. One guy was, they're working for the county public works division. And one guy was digging this hole. And right after he's piled, the next Portuguese guy just fills it up real fast. This guy digs another hole. And the other guy kind of fills it up. And he goes down one whole side of the street. People are watching these two guys, you know. What? They go across the street, work their way back down. Dig all day long. Finally, about 3:00, one guy comes out of his office. Excuse me, so I know you guys working real hard, the both of you, but for the life of me, I cannot figure out why you dig this deep hole, then the other guy comes and fill it up. And the first Portuguese guy puts his shovel down. He says, you know, this is supposed to be a three-man team, and the second guy that's supposed to plant the trees called in sick. Like, something is missing. And what we're going to talk about is a life essential. If this is missing, something is missing. And well, what is this life essential? I want to talk about giving. And people say, oh, Wayne, don't talk about it. I hate that. I hate talking about giving. Mo, you know when you have a physical exam, you go to the doctor, he'll press on certain parts like glands, adenoids, you know, and lymph glands. And he'll say, does this hurt? No, no, no. What about over here? No, 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 no. What about over here? No, what about under here? Oh, yeah, that hurt. Oh. And when you say it hurts, do you think he stopped pushing? No, he pushes more hard. Isn't that right? How's it? Oh, I said, oh, he keeps pushing. The reason he's pushing more is because even though it hurts, when he pushes, it's not supposed to hurt. So he knows something's wrong. And I think there's times like this where God is going to put us through a spiritual exam. He's going to push on our head. How's your thinking? Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's fine. How's about your ears? You're listening. Praise the Lord. Nice, nice. About your eyeball? Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's fine. How's about down here? Your wallet. Ow! Don't touch that. Ow! Stop already. Stop. I hate that when you do that. Yeah. See, the reason he keeps pushing is because even though it hurts, when he pushes, it's not supposed to hurt. So you say, well, what is this thing about giving then? Why does God say it is a life essential? Let me tell you the bottom line. And giving is not just for the affluent, not just for the middle class. It's even for those that are impoverished, poor people. Because you remember when Jesus saw that, remember the poor widow giving two mites or two copper coins, and he said to his disciples, whoa, this is cool. You got to see this. Giving really is something that's a life essential for everybody. Why? Here's the bottom line. Is it about giving? No, it's far deeper than that. Far deeper. And I need you to catch this life essential. Here's the bottom line. Let's read it out of the King James, Luke 16, 11. Ready? Okay, go. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Here's God. This is what God is saying. There are true heavenly riches that I want to bestow on you and trust to you. But the way you handle money is going to be a boot camp to prepare your heart for the true riches. Because this is not the true riches. There's far greater riches that I want to entrust to this church and into your life. But you've got to prepare yourself for this. And so your giving is a very important part. Like what true riches, Wayne? Well, true riches like gifts of the Holy Spirit, gifts of influence and authority, gifts where this church will influence our community and then our city, our county, our state. These are things that are so much grander, things that God will somehow just gift and change a life. I was speaking in the mainland at a church, and this lady came up to me just this last week. She had a little child by her hand. She said, you know, the first time I went to church was 2 years ago when you came and you spoke at this other church. And I said, oh, I remember. She said, I came up to you and you know what you said to me? I said, no. She said, I came up to you after church just to say thank you. And you looked at me and said, you have a beautiful smile. I see Jesus coming through your smile. I said, are you a Christian? Listen to this. She said, no, I'm a Wiccan. You know what a Wiccan is? Yeah, it's witchcraft. I said, then you should be a Christian because God wants to smile through you. Now, I don't even remember saying that. She said, that stuck in her heart so much. She said, I went home, I couldn't shake it. She said, within 3 weeks, I had found someone to talk to me about Christ. I gave my heart to Christ. I got rid of this witchcraft stuff. I married a wonderful Christian man. I've been going to church ever since. Isn't that crazy? And I think that's the spiritual gifts that God wants to bestow, where lives will be radically changed for an eternity. Is it us? No, it's just God will gift us with certain gifts. That's far greater than just funds or money. And God is saying, but remember, money, the way we steward or handle money, will be a boot camp as to whether or not I can entrust to you far greater riches. Because if I keep everything I have, and by the way, that's a definition of greed. Greed is keeping everything I get. You don't have to be affluent or rich to be greedy. You have poor people that have 4 or 5 shopping carts. Yeah, you see, greed is keeping everything you get, and it afflicts everybody of every socioeconomic strata. And so God is saying, if you have funds or money and you are afraid to give, you keep everything you get, then I can't give to you true riches, because true riches are not for you to hoard, it's for you to pass on, to give so that we can change society and change the world. But if we've got a theology that says, I'm going to keep everything I get, then I can't entrust to you true riches. That's the bottom line. So God is saying, just like the Dead Sea, I want you not to be rich but dead. See, the Dead Sea in Israel is almost 1,300 feet below sea level. And for eons, the Jordan River has been depositing its wealth of minerals into this Dead Sea. There's no outlet. So it's been receiving, it evaporates water, but all the minerals collects in this pond, this huge Dead Sea. It's huge. But like the ocean out here is 4% salt or 4% mineral sodium, the Dead Sea is 24%. But you say, well, why do you say it's dead? Because there's no fish in it. There's nothing living in it. Can't. But how do you return that? How do you restore life to it? Real easy. You just go down to one end and you start digging an opening. And you let that water not just come to, but come through. And once that becomes a thoroughfare rather than a cul-de-sac, life will return to it. And that's why giving is an essential of life, because some of us need to just dig an outlet. Why? Because God doesn't want us to be rich and dead. He doesn't want us to have great houses but desolate, relationships that are empty. He wants life involved back into it. And so somehow we've got to start opening up an outlet so that we'll be a people giving. Then life starts to return. And so God is saying, I want to give gifts to go through you, but I'm going to see how you handle money. Because if you don't steward this right, it will control you. And that money will turn into an idol called mammon. That's actually a god that has power. Every single one of us are susceptible to serving this god called mammon that basically runs our world today. Because if you look in our society, how many young people, they no longer choose a vocation or career based on their gifts and their callings of God, but they're choosing careers based on what pays the most. And it has nothing to do with their gift or their passion or their calling. It determines where we're going to live, where we're going to move to. Money begins to just dictate everything about us. Whether we're going to keep our family or lose it. Whether we're going to keep this marriage or get rid of it. It's money. You look at even in the social light newsprint of Hollywood and how people are vying in marriages for money. Because the god of mammon controls much of America. Even wars or everything, it's all having to relate to mammon. Now, I'm going to have us do an exercise, and you have to trust me, all right? In this next exercise, everybody okay with that? Okay, all right. Here's what I want. And no one is exonerated from this, all right? Everyone has to be involved, okay? Everybody raise your right hand. Okay, all right. You'll be involved. Okay, here it is. This is what I want you to do. You got to trust me. I want you to take out your wallet or your purse. Go on, everybody, and just hold it. Just hold it. Just hold it in your hands like this. No big deal. Just hold it. Hold it tight. Okay. Everybody. I'm looking. This is a test of rebellion here. See? Okay. Everybody. Yeah. Wherever you keep your valuables, if it's in your shoe, take off your shoe and just hold it. Okay. Everybody hold it up like this a little bit. In your hands, you are holding the god of this age. If you do not steward this, this turns into one of the most powerful gods that can run nations. If, however, you steward it well, you will be able to release it to bring redemption to nations. It's in your hands. Now, are you trusting me so far? Okay, you got to keep going now because I'm going to go a couple more steps. This is what I want you to do. Now, everybody take your wallet or purse and pass it down one to the right. Go ahead. Just everybody pass it down one to the right. Across the aisles. Now, the people at the end are excited because they got two. They're like, whoa, we're rich. Okay, now we're going to take an offering. Give the best you can. Go ahead. No, no, no. Just joking. Okay, not yet. We're not done. Now, I want you now to pass it one more down. One more. People on the end are going, yeah, I got three, yeah. Okay, you notice the anxiety level is starting to increase. It's getting really hot in here, isn't it? Okay, pass them back now. Pass them all back. And you better check your contents, though, in here. They might have, yeah. All right. Now you can put it away. Everybody's going, whoo, praise the Lord. Isn't it funny? The further your purse or wallet gets from you, you start to develop a twitch, you know. Isn't that true? You see, funny is, the further it gets from you, the more anxious you get. It really does have a tether on you. You really are concerned about that. And that's just a little thing to say, hey, there is a strength to that, and if you're not careful to steward it correctly, then it will actually take a hold of you. And one of the sisters in the first service, she said, you know, my wallet has one of those little locks on it, and when you said pass it over, I locked it, and then I passed it. That's true. You just start to say, whoa, what's going on here? We say, well, Wayne, how do we overcome that before it overcomes us? What are some of the things? Here it is. I want to give you three things to help you to control that, so that God can entrust to us true riches. This is a big deal thing. This is a life essential. Would you write down number one, choose to be a people of the tithe, T-I-T-H-E, choose to be a people of the tithe. Now, the word tithe means a tenth or the first tenth, but it's not just about money. Mm-mm. Let's read what it says here in the book of Deuteronomy as to the purpose of the tithe. Let's read it. Go. The purpose of tithing is to teach you always to fear the Lord your God. Yeah. In other words, when you fear the Lord, you put him first. Not second, not third. Fear is the topmost respect given to fill in the blank. And so to God. So you put God first. In other words, being a people of the tithe includes money, but it's not exclusively or exhaustively about money. It's about being a people of the tithe is a full gamut of life where you put God first in. Real simple. Whatever you want God to bless, put him first in. Honor him first. Honor his ways. Honor his wishes. And God promises to bless. Whatever you want God to bless, put him first in. For example, you want God to bless your dating relationship? Put him first in your dating. You want God to bless your marriage? Put him first in your marriage. You want God to bless your business? Put him first in your business. You want God to bless your finances? Put him first in your finances. You choose to be a people of the tithe. And that's what God's asked us to do. By the way, you come from a huge, long lineage of the best givers in the world. You know that? I've checked your family history. I've gone on the internet, you know, the genealogy things. I've checked your family. I've checked your families. You come from a line of great givers. You take a look at Abraham and Isaac and David and Solomon. Oh, you say, those aren't my relatives. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Every single one of you here is adopted. Yeah, you're adopted. Yeah, you see, in Romans and in Galatians, the Bible says we have been adopted into the family of God. Yeah, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joshua, those are your relatives. That's your family. And way back in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 19, God says to the children of Israel, when you harvest your field, your wheat, your barley, your grain, you are to, on purpose, intentionally, not harvest the corners. You leave them. And when you get stalks of grain, intentionally leave some behind. Why? So that the poor can come, and here's the word, glean for themselves. And when they stand there with with a few stocks full or baskets full of grain, they look up to heaven and say, thank you, God, for the people of God that you have allowed for them to give gifts to us so that we can sustain our families. They give praise to God for the people who are called by His name.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled A Life Essential Giving by Pastor Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.